Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion. Well, it's my great honor to have some compassion warriors with me today. I'm very, very honored to have Greg Champion, Patricia Myers, and Jeffrey Vaughn, who are all partners at Startup Recovery in Pacific Palisades, and they do amazing work. And I just want to send a shout out to Paul Engels, my colleague and partner in the Compassionate Leaders Awards, who introduced us. So the first thing I want to share is that every year we have a collaboration. It's not really a contest to honor compassionate leaders, because it's our job to shine a bright light on people that are doing healing, wonderful work in the world. And Greg and Patricia and Jeffrey have all been nominated for that. So
thank you.
Very excited to have them here. I think we'll start with Greg, and why don't you tell us a little bit about the creation story of Startup Recovery and what Startup Recovery is.
Cool. Thank you very much, Laurel, for having us on. It's a big deal, and we're very grateful and appreciative towards you and Paul for making this happen. So real quick, my name is Greg Champion. I'm a co-founder of Startup Recovery. I'm also a recovery coach. I'm also a man in his own recovery. And this November, I will celebrate 27 years clean and sober. The creation of this really came from, real quickly, was I was in a transition between being a media and PR executive, working with national brands 5-6 years ago. Felt stuck. I was in a Y in a road. I had a wife and two kids. And I really didn't want to show up for my job anymore. And I kept asking the universe, please open a door for me. You know, please open a door for me. And little by little, certain things presented itself. And one was, I was actually speaking at a meeting in a 12-step meeting, and I was sharing my story, experience, strength, and hope, along with my career. And this little older lady comes up to me and says, you make a great recovery coach. And I go, what's a recovery coach? And she sort of explains to me. And before you know it, I'm doing recovery coaching at this rehab up in Malibu. And then another rehab hires me in Newport Beach. And before you know it, my secret sauce is entrepreneurship meets recovery. And I began coaching groups, but I also began coaching private clients and having some success in that realm too. People who had 3 years, 5 years, 7 years of recovery, but felt stuck. They felt there was a why in the road. And through my own life experience and my own recovery story, I was able to help them get past that why. And then again, our universe shows up again, our higher power, and connects me and Jeffrey Vaughn. And he says, hey, what's your dream? I said, I want to take my coaching curriculum and move it into a headquarters. And he says, you know what? I think I can help you. And really, what we did was, you know, Jeff was newly sober, and he was being taken around to show different transitional livings, and none of them stood up. None of them were what he would want as a C-suite executive trying to put together his life. And so it really was a combination of what Jeff Vaughn would want in transitional living and what Greg Champion could provide in a coaching curriculum that really was the creation of Startup Recovery. Now, we wouldn't move forward unless we made one phone call, Laurel. And that phone call was to Patricia Myers, who was a legend, an icon in the recovery business. And we said, here's our idea. Can you get behind us? And she said two things to us. You realize you're only dealing with the 2% of the luxury world. I said, yeah, I know, but there's enough people out there. And then she pushed across a piece of paper and she goes, here's the people you're not going to do business with. And I thought that was a great thing for a mentor to do. She had made mistakes or missteps with some people in any industry and was allowing us to say, please don't go make those same mistakes. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts a mentor can give you is a mentor gives you their mistakes. So there's really the gist of it. And that was in November of 2017.
Wonderful. Thank you. I also want to share that one of the reasons I was so intrigued by this is I just, since we met in August, in September, I had 30 years sober.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was so impressed with what you're up to and how you approach it. And I think how you do what you do can help so many other people that might be open to learning from you on improving. It's just very hard to get help when people need so much help. So I so appreciate what you do. And I also appreciate that part of your operational foundation is if you can't help people because they can't afford you, you also do scholarships, but you also provide resources. And that is mm-hmm. an amazing service. Jeffrey, tell us, for those, I've had the pleasure of visiting one of your beautiful properties. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the experience is like, what the real estate is like, and what the actual experience of being at Startup Recovery can be like for a guest?
Sure. Thank you. And again, thanks for the opportunity. You know, as Greg stated, we wanted to really create something that wasn't out there. And we surveyed the landscape and recognized that there was a population that was underserved, specifically executives, professionals. We do have a lot of millennials that come to Startup Recovery, but they need to be very serious about transforming their life. And so we wanted to not only from an aesthetic standpoint, create beautiful and luxurious places to recover, but we really wanted to make sure that the substance inside the four walls was very safe, was very healing, was very community oriented, had resources that really could help people transform their lives. And this is one aspect of our business, kind of the brick and mortar houses and apartments that we have in Southern California. We wanted to make sure that people could really have a big boy or a big girl timeout and have an opportunity to really push the reset button on their life. So whether it's, you know, traditional 12-step stuff for people that are dealing with, you know, alcoholism or addiction. We do also serve a mental health community as well. All of our assessments are done by Patricia, who can maybe speak to that, because it's very important to choose the right people for the community and make sure that we can really be effective for everybody that wants to come here. So I think that, you know, the goal is to create an environment that is safe, that is luxurious, that is peaceful, that has a lot of resources for people just to take a step back, right, in their life and gain clarity and figure out, you know, what they want to do with the next phase of their life.
Yeah, I love your tagline, was we shift addiction to passion. Someone once told me that we're very spiritually thirsty people, those of us that like to use things that may not be good for us. And if we can shift the unquenchable thirst for alcohol to passion, that's beautiful. And I it's really resonates with me. Yeah. Patricia, I have so many questions for you, but and I so appreciate that you have this long, impressive, thoughtful career in this space. And I imagine that Startup Recovery gave you an opportunity to restart from scratch, like take all of what you've known from your experience and go forward with letting go of the things that don't work and, you know, bringing on the things that do. So tell me about your role and tell me about what you've been able to do with your, do you call them guests or clients or what do you?
We call them clients.
Clients.
Yeah. And so again, thank you, Laurel, and congratulations on 30 years.
That's, thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I've been in this space for a long time. I started working in 1997, 98 in the field. So I have a lot of experience and I've mostly occupied, you know, the higher end of treatment. And, you know, in those years really came to understand that, you know, if there wasn't a place that somebody could go that would aesthetically kind of parallel their life, they're not coming. And ultimately, as we know, people die from this disease. And so I think it's so important, you know, to have a place where people can be like, you know, just kind of be like, okay, I think I can do this. You know, this feels right to me. I can hang my hat here. And, you know, partnering with these two guys, I call them my work husbands, because we've really, I've had tremendous respect for them prior to joining and was on the advisory board. And I also sit on the board of a very low income home for women and children. And Jeffrey and Greg have been on my advisory board. So we've worked on, you know, we work on both spectrums, you know, with extremely low income women that are coming off the streets to a higher end clientele. And here at Startup, I think, you know, the assessment process is really, really important because we're not the right place for everybody. And for me, I've spent most of my career as, you know, in a director of admissions, clinical admissions director space where, you know, making those, doing those assessments and having a team with me that really understands that, you know, every place is not the right fit and making that decision so that if they're not, that we find a place that is. So bringing that process to Startup, I think has been, you know, was kind of a game changer for how we do business. And, you know, explaining and Jeff and Greg understanding, like, you know what, you're right. Because it's not just about whether somebody can afford to live here. It's about whether we can help them, whether we can actually wrap our arms around them, create, you know, also with a wraparound clinical team that is actually going to move them, you know, into a space of health, wellness, and recovery. And that's our goal. If we cannot, and we feel, and of course, giving them my feedback about an assessment, if we feel we're all on board, like, yes, this is the right thing to do is to refer them out. To me, that's golden, because I've certainly worked with many places over the years where, you know, that's not the case. And
you're on your own. If you don't fit us, you're goodbye.
Yeah. So I feel that that's a very important component. And then service, you know, bringing service, you know, our core kind of, you know, philosophy is about giving back. How do we give back to the community that we live in, right? So that is definitely very much a part of our curriculum and what we do and how we do it. And the nonprofits that we join with and partner with. So that's been a really nice, a nice addition to what Startup is doing here. And then I think, you know, the just leadership in general, you know, working with the teams and, you know, providing some trainings and things of that nature.
Wonderful. Greg, I'd love for you to take us in a deeper into what is a week at Startup Recovery feel like? I know you have amazing coffee and amazing food. So I think that's part of the deal, which is important to me and many people. But tell me, like, what are people doing every day?
So, you know, we are considered a structured transitional living. When people come here, we make sure that they know that, you know, they're going to get up in the morning. We're going to have a morning meeting. Either subject is around what we're going to do in those events on a Monday or on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. It's we do an intentions meeting where everybody comes down from their rooms or from the other houses, and we set intentions. And we do some readings and we do some meditation. And it's sort of like, you know, here we go, folks, we're going out into the world. And then really we let our residents, our clients go out, and they can either go to work, school, or to an intensive outpatient program. Every single one of our clients has to be tied to a clinical program. We want them to go do the inner work while they're here safe with us. Some of the events we have at night are like on Mondays, we have sound bath. We bring in a practitioner who comes in and does sound bath. Tuesdays, we may go out to an outside meeting where we get everybody in their cars. We drive to an outside meeting, 12-step meeting. Wednesday, we have an in-house meeting that Patricia runs, and one of our clients shares their experience, strength, and hope, so they can get to know the other clients and let their walls down and begin to trust and have vulnerability. And then Thursday is really our marquee night. We call it Sober Mentor Night. And Laurel, this is where you're going to come in someday, because this is about with someone who has long-term sobriety and long-term success. I burnt the house down 30 years ago or 25 years ago or 5 years ago. And out of my recovery, I built this wonderful life. And we call them sober mentors for a reason. And so they come in for dinner. They're able to break bread with our clients. And then they share their experience, strength, and hope, and their business success, failures, and successes. And then our clients are able to get their numbers and say, hey, can we catch a coffee? Or can I call you for some time for some advice? And then on Friday mornings, I load up everybody and I take them up to a beautiful outdoor meeting at Zuma Beach. We're in, our feet are in the sand. It's a 12-step meeting. We get Starbucks after. And it's a really nice community event. And on the weekends, it can be anything from Heal the Bay, where we're being of service to the community. We can go feed the homeless. We go bowling. We go to the movies. We bring a trainer in. But really, our whole thing is to be structured, create community, bring in educational resources. And then here's the most important one: show everybody love. This is what love feels like. And so a lot of times, Patricia will take on the mama bear role, and Jeff will take on the big brother role, and I'll take on the favorite uncle role. And what I mean by that is that we are a resource to our clients to really, you know, create a new family member while they're trying to heal their own or get back to their families.
You can never throw too much love at the situation. I love that. That's fantastic. Jeffrey, tell us about the vision for the company and your platform going forward.
Sure. Thank you. You know, the broad vision of Startup Recovery is really about wellness and happiness and compassion and serenity for all people, right? Now and for future generations. That's the very broad vision. And when Greg and I connected years ago and I asked him what his dream was, I've learned that's a strategically intelligent question to ask people. And to the extent you can help them get there, you know, everybody wins. He talked about his own headquarters and being able to bring in this incredible passion and this incredible curriculum that he developed into an environment where people could come through. And I thought it was amazing. But I was at a place in my life as an entrepreneur, also with a couple kids, had some wins in my life, losses as well, where it was a clean slate. And so I talked about, you know, the idea of creating a broader, right, vision that could extend across the country, across the world, that could leverage digital platforms, expand into, you know, additional wellness verticals. And so 4 years ago, next month, right? We opened up our first, what I like to call transformational living. We now have three beautiful homes on the same street, which is totally a God shot. It was not by design. It was very divine. And we have an apartment model that we figured out that we call that independent living with guardrails. And so now that we've got the brick and mortar figured out in terms of being able to look at the outcomes, you know, it's all about outcomes here. It's very easy to thrive when you're hanging with us in these beautiful houses, right? The key is, can we help you transform your life and stay on the beam, if you will, and continue everything that you learned here? And so we're at an exciting time in terms of our overall vision in launching some new divisions, expanding our footprint online. And we're really excited about it. And we have a cool expression here about God being the chairman of the board of Startup Recovery. Because we are all in recovery, we do practice the principles of the program in all our affairs, including our business and including our partnership, you know? So what's great is that we've already won. So we're operating from a space where we're happy, we've already won. We can look in the mirror and feel really good. We're poised for some really exciting stuff, and that's to really expand and do it in a way that makes sense.
I'm excited for the world to get more access to all of you, especially Patricia, as someone who's recently tried to get someone help who really, really needed help. It's just so hard to sift through and curate the resources, because if you're new to the recovery world or the transitional housing world or the rehab world, it's really hard to figure out without your experience what will work and what will not. So can you give our listeners some advice around, you know, if they're struggling with an addiction, where to start, or if they have a family member? I know this is a big question. It probably needs to be a book more than a podcast, but, or if they have a family member that needs help, where do you, you know, what's your advice?
Give them your cell phone number, Patricia. Well, you don't get enough calls.
I do triage a lot of calls. I started something years ago at an organization called an alumni in crisis program. And it's really that, right? Like, because the waters are very mucky out there and it's very hard and it's overwhelming to go online and, you know, every website is more seductive than the next, right? So how do you know? But my best advice, I mean, certainly anybody can call me at any time. I have dedicated my life and my life's work to helping people find the right place to go. And I personally make it my mission. I visit programs all the time, you know, top to bottom in terms of leadership. I work with families and give them a list of questions to ask, because sometimes they just don't even know the questions to be asking. It's very, very important. I think it's to work with a professional that, you know, comes through a referral is also really important. You know, everybody tries to be well-intended, but unless you're out there and you have your finger on the pulse of an organization, like I said, from top to bottom, it's hard to know what's happening inside the walls, right?
Well, so, I'm sort of envisioning, I appreciate you, you know, sharing, we'll share your website and mm-hmm. I appreciate you, but I think as you expand, we may have to create an app, a Patricia Myers app. Take all the information from your heart and your brain. That's beautiful. And we appreciate you being of service in that way. So I'm going to shift now. I'm curious about a couple of things. First of all, I've spent time with Jeffrey and Greg, and now I'm meeting my new friend, Patricia, today. Mm-hmm. Curious about what it's like to be partners. I know that you enjoy each other, but I know that as you build a brand and build a business, there's probably some lessons learned here for how do you create a productive partnership. And anyone can add their two cents.
I'll chime in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So first, it's you know, a complete honor and privilege to be partners with Greg and Patricia. I think about a year ago, somebody asked me about it. I said, it's, you know, we love each other, right? And we have open lines of communication. We respect each other. We listen to each other. And then we also have the principles of the program in our partnership, right? So, you know, this is a stressful business at times. There's an ability to witness an immense amount of miracles, right? Which is amazing, but it's also heartbreaking in many ways. And so, you know, just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, I needed to make amends to Patricia for the way that I responded to something. And she allowed me to have that space and you know, accepted my amends. And so I think it's love, respect, privilege, and also guiding principles that afford us to really be potent together. And also the last thing I'll say is that not only do we complement each other really beautifully, we all really focus on the lanes that we're passionate about and are good at, right? So that would be my input.
And I would throw in because as someone with, you know, as master's in organizational psychology, when I first was introduced to the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, I was thinking that every organization, whether you have an addiction problem or not, it's good food, it's good fodder for building a strong organization.
100%.
And I would just add, you know, like, to respect the fact that we respect each other and like each other is obviously a plus plus, but we're never always going to agree on everything. And it's so important, you know, I feel like regardless of, you know, whether we absolutely 100% agree, we align with each other, no matter what, which is key. I know that no matter what, if I'm gonna say something to a staff or to a client, you know, Greg and Jeff may have different opinions about it, but 100% they're going to have my back. They're going to be right behind me because they trust me and they respect me. And I feel that that is with the three of us, which is really key. There's no opportunity. You know, we're so united for the clients to split us. We don't operate that way at all.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Greg, I am, because you and I have had similar experiences with this idea of pivoting and helping people change careers. I'd love to hear if you can, by, you know, obviously keeping them anonymous, but can you tell us a couple of stories about career transitions that have happened through Startup Recovery? Because I really love this idea of if you're gonna recover some something, you might as well get some career development and a new path. And, you know, if you're going to work that hard, I love this idea of bringing the two things together. So could you tell us a couple of stories about that?
Absolutely, Laurel. And I do use that word pivot. You have to, if you're an entrepreneur, it becomes sort of a mantra for you, but I just want to touch quickly on the partnership.
Yeah,
question.
Sure.
One is that I just want to say the three of us also respect our personal schedules. Yes, we are professional partners, but I know that Jeff needs to spend time with his kids on certain nights. I know Patricia has a family call on Sunday nights. They know I'm a soccer dad on Saturdays, you know? And the other thing is that, you know, these two get to go to my kids' birthday parties. Like, we're part of each other's lives outside the business. So it just creates a much thicker thread in terms of a partnership. And Patricia coined a very cool term a long time ago. And I would say this about both of these two people, Patricia and Jeff, they're both amazing humans. And when you get that moniker, you know, you've been stamped with approval. So, but jumping into your shifting addiction to passion and how we've come up with some careers. Well, real quickly, you know, we have three thriving artists here who were floundering on their parents' couches and in mental institutions. And now we have three artists who have their own websites. They have their own art hanging in galleries and in million-dollar houses. We were definitely able to take the heroin needle out of someone's arm and put a paintbrush in their hand. We've had a young lady move her whole life from the East Coast to the West Coast to become a Hollywood makeup artist. And she literally sent me a screenshot of the film she's working on right now. And that was a year ago. We've had a young man who struggled with mental health and addiction, and he opened up a sober recording studio. Now, Laurel, if you know anything about the music business, there ain't too many sober recording studios, you know, and this was really this guy's vision with the three of us putting it together to show him how to do it. We've had two clothing lines launched from Startup Recovery. We've had moms go back and get their degree, get their master's degree or their PhDs because they became empty nesters. They filled it up with Xanax and wine, and they realized that wasn't a solution. And we said, hey, put that stuff down and go use the brain your higher power gave you. And they went back to school. And so really, like what Jeff talked about, we are all about meaningful outcomes. We want to be able to tell the world via your audience at Forbes that's what we're all about, is meaningful outcomes. And also, like any good business, we're a customer service business, right? We want to make sure our clients have a good experience with us from the time they hit the door to the time they leave. And they're always connected with Startup Recovery. Patricia tells them, we're going to wrap your arms around you, whether you like it or not. You know? And so you show up here. The very first question I asked, Laurel, is this: what do you want to be when you grow up? And people, this 50-year-old man's like, what do you mean? I'm a grown man. I'm a CEO. I go, you would not be on my couch if you were grown up, you know? And I also will say this, is that we've had very powerful women. We've had very powerful men on here. And they've had a disconnect with their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been too, I'm the CEO. I'm the C-suite executive. I'm a high-powered lawyer. Don't you know the doctor I am, right? And they have lousy relationships with their kids. And so one thing we work on them is I want you to go date your kids. You know, don't just take them on family vacations three or four at a time. Date each one individually. Find out what their interest is. And I've had great feedback going, you won't believe the relationship I have with my daughter now. I know, yeah, because you're present for her. You're dating her, you know? And so, you know, we really want people to, I'm sober now what is one of our slogans, you know? What are you going to do now, sober guy? But really, if they do the same, if they chase their passion the same way they chase their addiction or their alcoholism, they're going to thrive. And
no stopping
I'll throw it back to you. How many sober entrepreneurs do you know that have just rocketed once they got sober?
A lot. Yeah. You know, it makes a big difference. It's probably it's a secret, but not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah.
But when I work with people, I talk about soul leaks right up front. And I work with people in recovery and not recovery. But I've found that everyone I worked with over the last 25 years has some sort of soul leak where they lose energy to something that's not productive, and they can move that energy into something productive.
Yep.
Right.
That's cool.
I love it.
And I do it right up front, and people tend to trust me. So I do often find out about addictions too from the beginning. So it's a big soul leak if you're using substances, or it could be television, it could be pornography, it can be in our culture, we're just overusing technology. So as a supporter of compassionate leaders, I know that you all work hard, I know that these success stories have brought a tear to my eye and a chill up my spine. It's amazing. I also know that from being in this business, that sometimes you do have losses. You have people that aren't the right match for your program, or their addiction is too big. And how do you deal with that personally when someone doesn't succeed? How do you work that through yourself internally?
You want to take that, Patricia?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. Recidivism, the rate of recidivism is very high. But, you know, I believe I don't give up on anybody until they're literally in the ground. So, you know, we try to do everything that we can to continue to reach out, you know, create resources for people to grab a lifeline. But it is hard. It is, you know, people say to me sometimes, oh, you've been doing this so long, it must get easier. It actually gets way harder. You know, it is soul crushing sometimes, because we know that recovery is possible. You know, our whole thing is about creating a longer runway to get people to a year of recovery. Not necessarily staying at startup, but through resources of doing aftercare, SoberLink, you know, continuing to do the clinical work, which is, you know, with Greg's coaching curriculum, you know, that partnership of the clients doing the work, really getting to the underbelly of what's driving the self-destructive, self-sabotaging behavior, and then to be able to go in and meet with Greg and really start to kind of work through, you know, what are their hopes and dreams, and, you know, how do we shift the addiction to passion while simultaneously they're doing the work. The partnerships that we create in the community are so critical to the work that we do as well. This is a we thing. It takes a village to help each and every client. So when a client is in a crisis and, you know, they are not, you know, they've relapsed or whatever, you know, we do. It's like the village kind of mentality. Everybody's calling, texting, you know, just kind of sending out the lifelines.
I appreciate, yeah, I think what I've learned in 30 years is never giving up on people, even if other people have. And it's hard, but I appreciate, you know, not giving up until they're in the ground, because you never know. You never know if that one phone call or that one meeting or that one book, you know, can turn. I've seen it. I've seen people like totally be given up on and they come back to life, you know?
Yeah, so that's my personal story. You know, if I would have been dead, you know, so I think for me, it's even a greater, you know, because everybody kind of cut me out of their life. And, you know, there was one or two people that did not give up. And that became, you know, the North Star. So it's so important, because you're right. You just don't know what that, you know, it's like that old saying, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah. And it's been my experience that if you're out there listening and struggling with addiction, if everyone in your life has given up on you, go to a meeting, because there's a bunch of people waiting for you in a 12-step meeting that will love you until you can love yourself.
Yeah, it's all about reaching out.
Yeah. I have loved being with you all. I'm so glad that you're my friends and I get to spend more time with you. Give us your website and your phone number, where people can learn more about Startup Recovery. Jeffrey, why don't you take that?
Sure, thanks. Our website is www.startuprecovery.com. And the best number to reach us is 866-966-5884. And we're happy to just be of service in any way we can. We start off each phone call with making it clear that if we are not the right fit, we will help people find the right fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to being part of your mentorship program and coming and having dinner, especially in the winter. I'd like to come to California, so I'll keep
open invitation, Laurel.
I'll keep you posted on that. It's been a great honor to celebrate you and in a way celebrate my own recovery with you today. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're grateful and appreciative.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.